Welcome to Greenbrier Church. My name is Tim Bice. I am one of the pastor elders here at Greenbrier, and so glad that you're with us. Welcome, if this is your first time. We are in a series called The Five Solas, which I'll get to in just a minute. I've got three quick announcements to make, and they're all really, truly exciting for us, especially since what we've been through in 2020 and also in 2021. We've got some things that are changing. And so one of those is, as you well know, many of you know, most of you know, that Johnny Schroeder is planting a church, that we are sending him out purposefully to plant a church. And we think about it this way. He is going to plant the gospel with some people in a nearby city. And so on December 5th, our partner meeting, he's going to divulge what that city is and some other pretty cool updates. So that's coming up December 5th. We are so glad that the Lord has given to us that the name of that city, where he's going, and we're all excited about that. Also, I don't know if you know this or not, but we have like 3 acres right behind our church. You may have seen that we've cleared it out and cleaned it up a little bit. Some of our people have just put together this really cool design back there. There's so many things that we can do with it. And we want to share what some of those could be, our hopes. We want you to pray with us. We want to hear your comments and your ideas of what that might look like. I do know one thing we're doing, finally building a playground. We've been trying to do that forever, but it's funny what we get excited about. Playground! Yeah! Oh, yeah, and Jesus. Okay. No, seriously, we are we are happy about it in all actuality. And one more other cool thing. Starting January 1, we will have all of our kids' classes open again, finally. Yes. Go Jesus, too. All right. So be looking forward to that. 3 really good things that, man, something to be excited for. So what are we talking about? What are these 5 solas? Let me give you a quick review, and then we'll get into today's, which is solus Christus, which is simply Christ alone. So on October 31st, we started this series. Some think that it's Halloween, October 31st, but really it's Reformation Day. Amen? All right? It's Reformation Day. It was the 504th anniversary of Martin Luther nailing his 95 Theses to the door at Wittenberg Church. And many scholars believe that that was the beginning of the Protestant Reformation, Reformation. What in the world is a Protestant Reformation, and what does it have to do with me? Let me say this first of all. You wouldn't even be sitting here. And if you were, we'd have confessional booths out there. You'd be doing Hail Marys. You'd be paying for people to get out of purgatory, right? You'd be paying for your sin. You'd be paying indulgences. There's so many things. When you would, if you were even able to open a Bible on your own, if you could have one on your own, there wouldn't be the 66 books that we know of today. In our Bibles, there would be more. The pseudepigraphal, apocrypha, would be right in there with it, right? So you're like, whoa, what? Yeah, things changed during this Reformation. What is the Reformation? Let me just kind of give you a quick synopsis of what the Protestant Reformation was. It was a movement in the 16th and the 17th centuries in Europe which tried to reform the Roman Catholic Church because of perceived doctrinal and moral corruption that undermined the Christian gospel. So what does that have to do with these things called solas? What are those anyway? What does that even mean, right? The 5 solas are 5 Latin phrases or slogans that emerged during the Protestant Reformation to summarize the reformers' basic theological convictions and distinctions about the essentials of Christianity, especially salvation, especially answering the question, how is one justified? That means to be declared not guilty in the sight of God. And it was also taught in contrast to the certain teachings of the medieval Roman Catholic Church of that day. So let me just put it simply. These dudes, they were like, they were ministers, they were pastors, they were studiers of the Word. They loved God, and they realized that there were some things that were wrong that were being taught in the church. They sought to find out what is true. How is a man saved? How is a woman justified in the sight of God? And these five solas, or alones, was their foundation. And you know what? It's ours too. These five statements also signify our Christian foundation. Sola is a Latin meaning of the word alone. And here are the five alones, the five solas of both the Reformers and you as a believer in Jesus Christ. Sola Scriptura, by Scripture alone. It's not that the Roman Catholic Church did not believe in Scripture as an authority. They did not, however, believe it was the final authority. The Reformers said, no, it's the Bible alone, our final authority. Sola gratia, by grace alone. Not by your merits, not by the sacraments, but by God's good grace toward those who don't deserve it. Grace alone. Sola fide, by faith alone. Not trusting in yourself, not trusting in the church, not trusting in priests or popes or traditions. But this trust, this faith alone, has to be in an object. This object is a person whose name is Jesus Christ, which is the fourth, solus Christus, through Christ alone. That Jesus Christ alone is our salvation. He is our justification. It's not Jesus and. It's not Jesus plus. In this day, the Roman Catholic Church believed in Jesus. He was essential, but he wasn't the only thing that could save you. You had to play a part. You had to do some things. And all of this is for the glory of God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. For God's glory alone. That's for us today. Same thing. Nothing has changed. One of the greatest questions of the Reformation is, how does someone earn favor with God? Like, how does that happen? The Roman Catholic Church of that day had developed an elaborate sacramental system. In other words, the sacraments of baptism for justification and, of course, Mass or the Lord's Supper. This system that maintained favor with God was earned by people participating in those sacraments. So these pastors, these ministers, these men of God, the Reformers, Luther and Calvin, Zwingli, and many more, began to realize that this sacramental system had created a great deal of confusion around the gospel. In other words, the sacraments that were meant to bring clarity to the gospel. You know, when we baptize someone, what does that point to? Jesus. Every time we take communion together, who is it pointing to? Jesus. Is to bring clarity to the gospel, not confusion. But in this day, it had brought confusion. So as the Reformers read the only a few Bibles that were in existence, they came to realize that nobody is saved by their own efforts, but rather they're saved by God's grace alone, in our faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, all for the glory of God alone. And we find that authority, we find that truth in Scripture alone. Not the church, not the Pope, not the priests, not the church's traditions, but in Jesus Christ. So today is Solus Christus, in Christ alone. Let me pray and we'll get into the text. Father, what we have not seen, show us. Father, what we don't know today, teach us. And God, wherever we are, Holy Spirit, lead us. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the text that I'm using today is not the normal text to be taught in in Solus Christus, in Christ alone. But hang in there with me, all you theology nerds. I promise it's going to fit, all right? I want to read it. I want to read especially verses 28, 29, and 30. I want you to listen closely. Remember, Jesus is teaching. His disciples are present, but he's primarily teaching at this moment in this text to Jews who are burdened by all the laws and all of the traditions, all of the teachings of the Mishnah, all the things that the additions to God's laws that the religious people have put on them. Listen to what he says. Come to me. It's an invitation. And by the way, side note, time out. This invitation on the table is not for you to come be good. That's not what Christianity is. This invitation is not you come be a good little boy, good little girl. The invitation is to come be forgiven because God is good, and it's displayed through the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ, who was a substitute in your place on the cross for your sin and your salvation. But he didn't stay there. He didn't stay in the grave. He came out. He is alive, and he's still inviting you today to come rest while he works. That's the gospel. That's the invitation. Come rest because he's done the work. That's Christianity. And from that new identity of forgiven and adopted and a son or a daughter is the reason and purpose and the why behind what you do as a believer, not the other way around. And that's one of the things that the reformers were like, we got to fix this. This needs to be reformed. It's not what you do that gets you in favor with God. It's what Jesus has done that puts you in favor with him. Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That word rest means a peace, a settled heart, a comforted soul, a non-anxious life. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest, peace. Settled heart for your soul. This isn't a physical rest, though we need it. It's not a sabbatical rest, though we need it. It's not a Sabbath rest, though we need it. It's a soul rest, and you need it. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus is using this imagery of yoke. What in the world is a yoke? Not a yolk like an egg. Yoke. Y-O-K-E. There's a I got a picture of it. I've shared this picture a couple of times before for you guys, but it's a wooden beam. You know, it has those two hooks that a farmer would use one of these, and he would put two animals in tandem together so that they would work a field. Two together is stronger than two separately working. And so farmers knew that. So it kind of would look like something like this. This is a picture of oxen that are yoked together working the field. Now, not only was this the truth in ancient days, like there's still third world countries that operate that way. So this language was a metaphor used by Jesus saying, come be in, listen to me, in union with me. Connected with me. Be with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Stay close. Be yoked with me. However, he was using this metaphor. Everyone that he was talking to understood it, but there was also a sub-metaphor. There was like another layer underneath. When he used this word yoke, this other layer meant the teachings or the ways, the way of living, the patterns of a life of a rabbi. A rabbi in that day would give his yoke to his disciples. there were three primary schools Jewish kids would go to. The first one, they would learn just the little things, how to read. They would learn, you know, the Torah. And then there was another school that they could graduate to, and they would learn even more. It was a little more detailed. But then the elite of the elite, like the really, really smart ones, the ones that were teachable, the ones who could get it, they got to go to the third school, Bet Midrash, meaning house of study. So these elite of the elite would become something called Talmidim, a student, an apprentice, a disciple of the rabbi, if they passed all of the rabbi's tests. And of course, they didn't. They would go back to their family business or trade or whatever. But those who got it, smart enough, elite enough, teachable enough, likable enough, the rabbis say, come, take my yoke, my way of living, my life, my teachings, my patterns. They had a phrase for that called, a Talmidim would be in the dust of the rabbi, because wherever he went and whatever he did, that Talmidim, that apprentice, that disciple would do the same things. Even if the rabbi had a limp, you know what I mean? I mean, here comes a Talmidim, he's doing the same thing, he's limping, right? That's how serious it would be. This rabbi would travel from town to town with his yoke. How he taught the scriptures, which was, of course, only the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures at the time, how he interpreted, how he practiced it. They knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. And he's offering something to everyone who's listening that's way different than the elite, intellectual, perfect people. But not only that, this teaching that Jesus was giving was in direct contrast to what the religious leaders, the scribes, rabbis, the Pharisees of that day were giving to the Jewish people. Direct contrast. As a matter of fact, we see that in Matthew 23, 4. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. That's what was happening during the Reformation and all the time leading up to it. See, these religious leaders say, hey, here's some other additional things you got to do to have favor with God. The Roman Catholic Church in the time say, here's some of the things you have to do to get in favor with God. Today, it still happens. Here's how you get in favor with God. You have to do a bunch of stuff. If you do all of these religious activities and read the right Bible and have no drums in the church or drums in the church, or if you raise your hands or if you don't raise your hands, if you wear skirts or if you don't, like, y'all know I'm not going to keep belaboring that. It goes on and on and on and on and on. Some of you sitting in here today are still smelling the dust of a legalistic, rabbinical church in your life. You still can't get this grace thing because it's been hammered into you. It's what you do. It's what you do. It's what you do to earn favor with God. The reformers come along and say, no, it's in Christ alone that you have favor with God. And I'm here to remind you today, 504 years later, it's in Christ alone that you have favor with God. You know that Jesus also was called Rabbi, right? 10 times in the New Testament. The most popular time, of course, is when Mary came to Jesus in his resurrection. What did she say? Rabboni, Rabbi, teacher, Rabbi. Jesus tells the unqualified. Listen to me for a minute, church. Jesus tells not the elite, a few verses earlier, the wise and understanding, he would say, the smart ones, the good ones. Some of you think that you're good just because you're disciplined and you have a proclivity of goodness, but most of us are not like that. We're undeserving. We know our sin. We know our junk. We know our mess. We know we don't deserve God. We know we're unholy in our flesh. But when our faith alone is in Christ alone because of his grace alone, we're no longer seen as sinners in the sight of God, but we're seen as saints. Set apart, forgiven, holy. Jesus tells the underqualified, the failures, take upon me my yoke. Come with me. Watch how I do it. Work with me. Be in union with me. Follow my commands. Follow my teachings. Talmudim of that day had three goals. These apprentices of rabbis had three goals. Pretty easy. Be with the rabbi. Become like the rabbi. Do what the rabbi did. If you look on our wall, and it's not for us to try to be cute and come up with some fancy thing for us to memorize and do church stuff, but if you look at the wall out there, you'll notice a sign about what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus. It means that we are apprentices who reorient our lives around three goals. Be with Jesus, abide in him. Be like him, grow in your faith, maturity, and go do what he did to be on mission. If we're to take the yoke of Jesus, that's exactly what he meant. This text is easy to come up with some good things to do to find rest, which we're about to do. But it also shows us what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Because many of you would say with your lips that you are yoked with Christ, but you say something completely different with your heart, with your actions, with what really matters in your life. Everyone sitting here right now is yoked to something. You're not exempt. There is no exception. And you may say, well, no, bro, you ain't putting me in that yoke. I ain't yoked to nothing. I'm free. Okay, you're yoked to your freedom. You are yoked to your idea of freedom. Everyone is yoked with something. Whatever you're yoked with is your hope for your means of justification. Declared not guilty. I'm not guilty of being unsuccessful. I'm not guilty of being less than. I'm not guilty of being a loser. I'm not guilty of being a bad person. And I'll find whatever I can to be yoked with. I'll find something to be in its dust. I will follow the teachings of any rabbi I can find in order for me to be justified and not a freaking loser in the sight of myself and other people. Guys, it's in Christ alone that you'll ever be justified. You can't do it in your own power. You can't do it in your own ways. Here's why. It is better to be yoked with Christ in union with him. And here's why it is better to follow his ways, his teachings, his commands. Because of there is no other true constant in all of the cosmos other than Jesus Christ. Everything else changes, and you have to change along with it like a chameleon. Even politics change. Everything changes except for Jesus Christ. He is constant. Christ alone, this is the main point of the sermon, is our only constant. Every other animal you're yoked with is out of your control. Hebrews 10, or 1, 10 through 12. Christ alone is our only true constant. Listen to what Jesus said about Jesus. And you, Lord, lay the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. We learned this when we went through the book of John in chapter 1. We realized that Jesus is the agent of creation. We see that in Colossians 1, that he is the preeminent one, that all things are made for, through, and by. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, is the agent of creation. That's not me making that up. That's Orthodox Christianity, because it's from the Bible, just so you know. Listen to what it says in verse 11. They will perish. But you remain. God, you remain. Jesus, you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. What are you yoked with? Because if it's anything in this world, it's getting rolled up like a robe. It can't be constant. It can't be the same. But then he says this, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. Christ alone is your only true constant. That's why you need to be yoked with him. You ever heard of the term entropy? I think it's from this. I'm not a physics teacher or anything like that, and don't claim to be. But we did learn some stuff in school. Amen? Right? Some things. There's like this second law of thermodynamics, this thing called entropy, which simply means that everything is dying down. So if I take a baseball and I throw it, man, it starts off with some good velocity and energy, but because of entropy, it finally falls, right? That's everything. Are you yoked with something that's just completely full of entropy? It's just dying. But you think you're somehow being justified by it. If you can have this kind of life, then your life will matter. What is it that you're yoked with that gives you that idea? What rabbi are you following that gives you that idea? Let me tell you something. I told Jay this yesterday. I said, thank you for being constant in my life. She is so constant. She's so steady. When people act the fool and let you down, man, my wife is just so steady, so constant. Though I am yoked to her in a way, because God has made us one flesh, she can't be my primary yoke because she can't be constant forever. I can't be her ultimate constant, because I'll get old, feeble, and eventually die. Guys, there are things that we are yoking our lives to and with that we believe will give us security and safety and make our lives matter. And though it's fine to be yoked with things secondarily, I'm yoked with the elders here. We lead as a plurality of elders. They can't be my primary. Jay can't be my primary. Jesus Christ alone is my primary yoke, because he is the most constant in all of the cosmos. He's steady. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're all being discipled into something, guys. We are all in the dust of something. We are all yoked with something. We all have some sort of functional rabbi that we're listening to, mimicking, replicating, believing, trusting. Who or what is your functional rabbi? What are you primarily yoked to? What are you looking for justification in? What is it that if you have, your life finally matters? Any other thing you are yoked with is not constant. Only Jesus is. Let me just give out some things. Are you following in the dust of Fox News? How many of you like running on a treadmill? It's okay when the speed is at like 3. And you can actually watch Fox News while you're doing it at Tony's gym, right? The problem is when it starts to incline and get faster. When you're in the dust of a news network, it's as if the treadmill gets higher and higher and faster, and you have no rest. You're in the dust of propaganda, not in the dust of a gentle, lowly Jesus who's the only constant. It doesn't have to be Fox. It could be NPR, talk radio. It could be blogs. It could be those polemic websites that you go to find out how every other church on the face of the planet is trash and every other preacher has no idea what the heck they're talking about. But thank God you do, Mr. Polemic Man, writing the blogs, leading nobody, right? Wow. Sorry about that. a little angst there. Wonder what I'm yoked. All right, so here's one. This, you want to tell me the one that's getting most people today? You're walking in the dust of Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. It's leading you in paths where you're reading more articles on conspiracy theories than you are the Gospels. You're yoked. Everything you're yoked to will either be a stress giver or a rest giver. And I'm telling you right now, anything in this world that's constantly changing and getting you riled up and anxious, that's not Jesus. When you're yoked with Him, when you're in His dust, you are in His rest. You are at peace. You are hopeful. You are living a non-anxious life. Your functional rabbis could be peer groups. If I belong to this clique, if I belong to this group of people, if I can just get in, then I'll be okay. I won't be a loser. Talking about a treadmill. It could be the industry that you're in. You have to obey everything this industry tells you to so that you can be at the top and be seen as justified and good. And you are tired, restless, and anxious. It could be coaches, life coaches, business coaches. It's YouTube channels for whatever your blank is. It's societal approval, the expectations of parents and family and friends that task mastering, slave driving voice of your own flesh demanding better and greater for you. Treadmill, baby. And Jesus is saying, I have something better. I'm constant. You're yoked with everything other than me. Be yoked with Christ alone is your primary means of justification, your primary means of satisfaction and peace and hope and joy. Are you yoked with your looks? Your beauty, your clothes that you wear, your appearance. Let me just go ahead and tell y'all something, by the way. I'm 50. I'm starting to really realize that junk don't matter no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, my hair's falling out. I can't keep a six-pack abs anymore. Like, that's done. There'll be a day, if you're yoked with something like your fitness or your looks, gravity will win. I promise. It's not constant. The economy, politics. I'm in the right party, I'm on the left. No, I'm in the right party, I'm on the right. Some of y'all sitting there, don't put me in that, bro, I'm a libertarian. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. If that is the means of your justification, it's changing. It's not constant, and you are on a treadmill. Is it culture, fads? How about this one? Your sexuality? What rabbi are you in the dust of teaching you about your sexuality? What identity are you yoking yourself with? I'm going to tell you something about you. You have no rest right now. If your sexual identity is in anything other than Jesus Christ, His ways, He says, my ways are gentle and lowly. I am gentle and lowly. Can I tell you something about whatever you're yoked with that's not Jesus? It's not gentle and lowly. It's heavy and hard. It's strenuous. It's robbing you of the joy God died through His Son, Jesus Christ, to give you. You're yoked with something. Everyone is. You're in the dust of some rabbi. Who's teaching you how to live life? No exceptions. You have been formed and informed by something or someone. This culture, a professor, a parent, a coach, the culture, social media. Someone is discipling you, and they're not lowly and gentle. But Jesus is. Jay and I just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. Whoop, whoop. Yeah, that's right. Tell her how lucky she is. You know what I'm saying? Well, shoot. That's not true. I'm almost 50. It's gone. It's done. So we got married in Helen, Georgia, in a little chapel there in 1996. And on the way, she wore the same wedding dress that she wore on our wedding day, which is pretty cool. She had it on. We're like in the car. I'm like, this is awesome. We're going to the same chapel we got married in. She goes, let me tell you something. The man that married us is going to be there to pray over us. And I thought, I'm like, man, he was like really old when he married us. Did he come out of the grave or something? Like, how's he going to be there? But he was very kind. But just a flood of memories came back from then. And one of my memories I had was I had like this 1996 Honda Accord. It was awesome. 5-speed and all. And all my friends tied like aluminum cans, Mountain Dew cans on the back of my car, right? Question, does anybody do that anymore? Is that like an old school thing? I need some help. Is that, people still do that? Okay, sorry. Well, they used to do it, all right? And so I had that image in my mind, and I'm thinking about us driving and how loud those stupid cans were and how all of a sudden I'm like, that's kind of what it's like to be yoked with something other than Christ. Blown around. You can't control what it is that you want to control it, but you can't. I mean, like, who's in charge? The can or the car? The car takes you wherever. You become the tail whipped from to and fro. And whatever you're yoked with is actually the head of your life. What is it? Who is it? Is it your safety? Your security? Moms, is it the well-being of your kids? Making sure they hit every benchmark? Making sure that they're protected and safe? Because if that's the case, it could be that Pinterest is your functional rabbi telling you what to do to meet these goals so that you and your kids will be justified. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. You're a Mountain Dew can flapping around. You're on a treadmill and you can't keep going. You're restless. It's in Christ alone that you find your means of justification. Nothing else, no one else, because nothing else is constant. Those benchmarks will change. Jesus never changes. Is it sports? Guys, is that what you're yoked with? Let me tell you a story. So I'm an avid Georgia Bulldog fan. Whoop, go Dogs, stick them, woof, woof. All right, but anyway, so Jay and I, we were in Charlotte last week. That's why I wasn't here. I was able to preach at a church there in Charlotte, Exodus Church in Charlotte. But on Saturday, 3:30, the game's on. And it's Tennessee, one of our rivals. And they've gotten a little bit better. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm lying down in a motel room, on the bed, lying down on my back like this. And I'm watching it, and it doesn't start the best. The heart rate is pretty jacked. And I feel like, So I looked at my watch to see what my heart rate was. It was 116 beats per minute. I was laying down. I'm like, that's probably not good. So whatever, we ended up winning, go Dogs. But then, like the day after Sunday, this is a large church, largest church I've ever preached at. Three services. I'm in a new place. Like, I'm kind of amped up. And I've been standing up. We've been singing and worshiping. I'm like, I wonder what my heart rate is. It was 95. Wait. It was 116 laying down because my football team was not doing well. I'm about to preach the gospel and it's 95. Maybe I'm yoked to something and I'm kind of like the tin can behind the car. Amen? Now that's funny. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm not saying if you're a dog fan, you're going to hell. Don't hear that. I'm making a point. You may be yoked to things like your success, your name, your approval, wealth, money, security, and retirement. Some of you are yoked with perfection. When I'm perfect, then I'm okay, I'm justified. You have to have the perfect house with the perfect car, the perfect career with a perfect wife and the perfect kids and the perfect husband, perfectly organized, perfectly cleaned, with the perfect clothes. Please hear me when I tell you these things. All of those are good. It's good to have a nice home and a great wife and great kids. I'm not saying that. I'm here to fight for your joy because something else is stealing it. I'm not here to condemn you, talk down to you, tell you how bad you are at being a Christian. I'm here to fight with you, alongside of you, because I face the exact same stuff. I want you to be free. I want to be free from following the dust of my functional rabbis who are lying to me and stealing my joy and being yoked with things I cannot even control. They're powerless to save me. Your things you're yoked with, powerless to save you, but they're not powerless to crush you. I'm fighting for you. I want better for you. Whatever it is that you're yoked to is a stress giver or a rest giver. Let me read it to you one more time. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me. Let's look on the screen. Come to me. I'm inviting you, Jesus says. All who labor and heavy laden. Who is that? any of you that identify with anything I said about how restless your life is right now. You're stressed, you're anxious, you're even depressed. You who I'm talking to, Jesus says. All who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Rest. Christ alone gives you this kind of rest. Take my yoke upon you. A minute ago, I showed you a picture of a wooden, rugged, heavy beam. Here's what Jesus' yoke looks like. You ready? Come here. It's his arm around you. He's actually happy with you because of his own work. He's not disappointed in you. He loves you. He says, come here. Come with me. I want to show you the right pace in life. I want to show you what matters. I want you to have this peace. Peace with God and peace in yourself. And it's in me alone, Christ says, that you have it. No other thing. There's an insinuation when he says, take my yoke. The insinuation is you've got some other yoke. Everyone has a yoke. Is it Jesus? And he says, come learn from me. Unlike every other thing we're yoked to, he says, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. Philippians 2, he humbled himself and became a servant. And you will find rest for your souls, soul rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. How do you know if you're primarily yoked with something other than Christ? Let me give you a few things. I'm going to use the word chronic in front of all of them. You have a chronic obsession with blank. Chronically obsessed. Think about it, dream about it. It could be a relationship. It could be an adventure. It could be a person. It could be a thing. It could be something you've started. It could be your job, your career. Obsession, a chronic obsession. Another one is you have a chronic pity on yourself. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always something that's coming against you and you feel sorry for yourself, although you're mopey, dumpy. That's your life. Hey, look at me, that's not your life. Jesus invites you into something greater than that. Take that yoke of dumpiness off. Self-pity off. Enter into true rest for your soul by following his ways, taking his yoke upon you. Victimhood. I'm always the victim. Why are people always after me? Why am I always overlooked? Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. Blah, blah, blah. You're yoked to something. Probably approval. The crazy thing is you've already been approved more than you can ever be approved of through Jesus Christ, whose Father adopts you into a forever family. Anger. Just always ticked, man. Like it's like brewing, always brewing. And it doesn't take much to put a little fan on that flame. I'm angry. Sadness, chronic sadness. Chronic anxiety. Now I know there are some biological things that can play into that, and I get it, and I'm not talking about those. Are those like lights on your dashboard going off? Accept the invitation Jesus is laying out to be yoked with Him. Pray for God to reveal the idols in your life, the yokes in your life. Put down your old yokes, that is to surrender. Accept the yoke to be yoked with Jesus. And trust God for all of your needs, especially your justification. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you can do more in a moment than we can do in 10,000 lifetimes. Yet we still try to do what only you can. God, help us. Help us discover what are these things that we are in the dust of that we believe will make our lives matter, that will justify us. Help us to see that your yoke is better and greater. It's light. It's not burdensome. Give us grace to understand it more. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.